You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Artificial intelligence, or AI, it is all around us. From medicine, research, education, sports, even government, AI is starting to have a more profound impact on our daily lives. Here in California, it is our next digital frontier. Governor Newsom recently noted that our state is already home to 35 of the top 50 AI companies in the world. That's why the state of California is taking a deep dive into the benefits of AI, as well as identifying its risks. The state is looking into how the state can harness artificial intelligence to rethink policies, programs, and workforce development, but also while still having some guardrails. While the benefits can be put to good use, there are also concerns, of course, over privacy, equity, safety, just to name a few. Liana Bailey Crimmins is the California's Chief Information Officer and Director of the California Department of Technology. She's really in charge of learning how AI can benefit the state and joins us with more about what her department is working on. Liana, welcome to Insight. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you, Vicky. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yeah, pleasure to have you. So these two little words, A and I, they get thrown a lot. They get thrown around a lot, and especially more and more every day. But for people who obviously have heard of AI, but they don't really know all the inner workings of it, can we start off with like a 101? What is artificial intelligence? How do we experience it?
Sure. So technology is the scaffolding that holds up our society. It's where we're using our televisions. I had cancer 5 years ago, and if I didn't have medical technology, I probably wouldn't be here today. So we are experiencing technology through every aspect, even driving here from work, right? And so when we think of artificial intelligence, the state of California has been using it for over a decade. We've been able, through Cal Fire, which is, you know, Alerta California, where we've been able to use predictive analytics, large data sets to be able and looking at cameras and how we can predict smoke and be able to see early indicators of fires. And the first 2 months that Cal Fire had that out there, 77 fires were detected by artificial intelligence before any 911 calls came in. So it shows you that artificial intelligence has been used throughout government. But when we think of generative AI, what's different about that is that it's using algorithms, but it's actually generating content. So it is a form of technology that if it's looking at Renoir or Degas, that it could actually look at paintings and actually create a painting. It can look at who I am on the internet and create a resume. I've done that. I don't know if I would actually submit that to any employer, but it's important to understand that it is trying to fill in the gaps. And so that's why it's very important as society, as we're growing into this whole new generative AI revolution, basically the intelligence revolution, that we're looking at it with a keen eye, but also a keen eye both on the benefit side, but on a keen eye of what potential harms could happen to society if we aren't really focusing on both and in a balanced approach.
So when I think of generative AI, as you explain it, is that like ChatGPT?
That is one. So ChatGPT, Bard, so that's more a public domain. It's more prompt generated. And so you put a prompt and as good as the data is, it comes back with an answer. In fact, I was at a conference yesterday and the person had done a prompt and he was looking at several type of rice cookers. And he kept saying, give me three. And it kept giving him four. I said, are you sure that it's three? And ChatGPT kept saying, yes, it is three. He says, you might want to count again. So ChatGPT is obviously one aspect of it. But what we're seeing in the technology world is that it's being built into a lot of the technology. You're going to see it in Word. You see it in Grammarly. You see it in Teams. So it really is fundamentally a technology that's being built into a lot of our technologies that currently exist. I always say it's not the tool, it's how it's being used. So with government, we have a lot of access to data that the trust of the public instills in us, and we need to make sure that how we're using those tools are in ways that don't amplify or create new risk, and that we don't we have to be very careful what is publicly and privately available when we make decisions.
You illustrated one example of how AI is being used in a good way by the state with, you know, wildfire mitigation and reducing the risk. I mean, it identified, as you say, over 70 wildfires. And I think that's before anyone even called 911, right? So that seems like a good win, you know, for the state. In what other ways can AI be beneficial? I mean, I know one, which I think would be attractive to a lot of people who have a vehicle, is that it could potentially like ease traffic or improve roadways?
So we do have 5 requests for innovative ideas on the street right now that we're working with the industry. And so we're using publicly available data. I really believe in crawl, walk, and run. And so public available data, there's Caltrans has 2. One is for vulnerable road users. We know that there are untimely deaths on our roadways. How can we use traffic information to help save lives? And then also, any of us that have driven into work, traffic isn't always the funnest. Can we actually use generative AI to predict and actually help us determine where bottlenecks are, how we can reroute? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to reduce those hour commutes to even less, especially if you work in the Bay Area?
And one solution is also how, I guess, as I say, like how we experience California, how we interact with state departments and agencies. I mean, it can be laborious at best. I mean, how could AI help how we interact with the state when we have to, you know, go to the DMV or go to other agencies?
So DMV is actually using not Gen AI, but artificial intelligence. Miles, the chatbot, if you have...
That's who Miles is.
That's who Miles is. So a lot of us work during the day. It's difficult to get to a DMV. So is there a way after hours to be able to connect with a chatbot that's continual learning from what it's doing really well? And when a customer decides, you didn't answer my question correctly, I'm going to go ahead and talk to a representative, how it's learning. And right now it's got over a 90% success rate, so that people are getting simple information that it needs. It's continually, you know, how can we improve that experience and then allow the agents and the residents to be able to interact with people when it's more complex and they need that guidance. So how can we help workers work faster and more, you know, focus on the things that are more complex? And then again, the whole overall customer experience. And my shout out to DMV, because they are doing continually evolving work that are helping the overall resident get a better experience by the kiosk with their vehicle registration. And you can actually go and start your queue while you're driving to the DMV, so you don't have to wait till you actually get in line.
Oh, so you can wait from home.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Like you do
going.
A restaurant, right?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So, okay, these are like the perks and the benefits. But of course, I mean, this is also scary. There is also the fear of unintended consequences and harm. So what does accountability look like when it comes to the use of artificial intelligence by the state?
So Governor Newsom, shout out to him, because obviously one of the first governors, but very balanced approach. So in addition, as we're looking at benefits and risk and how you procure, on the other side, we're also looking at critical infrastructure. You know, as we are society looking at ways to use generative AI in a positive way, there are people that are using generative AI in a way that, how do I hack into a system and how do I do something negative? So looking at working with CalSIC and Cal OES and Department of Military and actually Homeland Security, how do we make sure that we protect against those threats? I'm using, you know, like type of technologies, but also looking at vulnerable communities. California Department of Technology is responsible for the state digital equity plan. And 1 in 5 Californians don't have access to highly available, affordable internet. And we learned through the pandemic that when people went to remote desktop, going into remote learning, they were unable to have internet at home in some cases, and so they fell behind. What we have to make sure with vulnerable populations is that we're not creating a bigger gap. How do we use generative AI in a way to reduce and create equity, not amplify or create new? And so working with each department, you know, if you're Cal EPA, you have a different group of people that are looking from a vulnerable population. You may be living next to a waste or a garbage, you know, a garbage plant or something. That might be a different vulnerability than if you don't have broadband or if you're someone that is low income and trying to get health care. So how do we make sure that we understand who our vulnerable populations are? How do we use technology? And having that human in the middle, the technology does not get to make the decision. Humans have consciences, they have ethics, and sometimes when the data doesn't look right, we challenge it and we still try to make the best decision on behalf of society. That should not change just because we're using a new technology like generative AI.
Liana, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, this was only just, you need to come back.
Okay.
I have a lot more questions.
Sounds good. Because we all see those movies where technology takes over. There is really positive ways that we could be using this. And so thank you, Vicky, and thank you for your listeners.
Liana Bailey-Crimmins is California State Chief Information Officer and Director of the California Department of Technology. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.